why don't we begin, if that's okay? I assume that Director Wisner's on his way, since everybody's being so quiet and obedient and good this morning, I think we, by virtue of your goodness, we will begin. Director thanks call, and he had a conflict. We will roll call, please.
Okay. Governor Flynn, Secretary Snyder, Chair Wolf,
here.
Director Banks, Director Darcy,
here.
Director Gonzalez,
here.
Director Peterson,
here.
Director Reddick,
here.
Director Sweeney,
here.
Director Towns,
here.
Director Wisner, we have a forum.
Okay. Thank you very much. So we open with the I-94 Advisory Council report and resolution. And Christine, do you want to set this up?
For I-90, yes. So as some of you may recall, when we were beginning to do the planning for our reconstruction, rebuilding of I-90, we put together an advisory council made up of communities up and down the corridor. I think there are environmental groups at the table, planning organizations, transportation leaders, others who would be interested and concerned about how we were going to approach this important topic. In May of 2011, we created that corridor planning council for I-90 and really directed them to look at any opportunities that we had to do new and innovative things as we were looking to rebuild that corridor. So transit, for instance, is one of the things that I know that they looked at and commented on in their report. Also, we wanted to think about how we could work with local communities to maximize the infrastructure investments that the toll was going to be making up and down that corridor. So, the Planning Council has really, I think, done a great job of, creating a blueprint to help us accommodate transit. We had the Planning Council, but we also had kind of a technical subgroup of all of the transit agencies and other, specific transportation agencies, partners that were looking at some of those technical issues as well. Co-chairs of the group who are here today were Steve Ernst, the Executive Director of the Rockford Metropolitan Agency for Planning, RMAP, kind of CMAP, the Rockford version of CMAP, for those of you who may be more familiar with CMAP here, and Don Kopeck, the Deputy Director of Planning and Programming for the Chicago Metropolitan Agency for Planning, CMAP. So the two regional planning agencies co-chaired the effort, and they are here today to talk a little bit about the findings of the council and the work of the council and the resolution that was passed by the council. So without further ado, I would invite you to come
Thank
on
you, and good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Let me just check and make sure. Should they be by the mics in order to be able to be picked up? I should have mentioned, we're being broadcast live on a computer.
Okay, is that better?
That's great.
Thanks. Christy mentioned a lot of what I was going to say, but most importantly, I'd really like to thank you for creating this I-90 Corridor Planning Council. Those of us involved in it really thought it was extremely valuable and a very effective way to address transportation problems in this corridor. I think we all came away from this exercise feeling that we came to some recommendations that we could all agree on. It was a unanimous vote on these recommendations and resolution that we're presenting to you today. And we think it's very effective, and we hope it'll be a model for looking at transportation problems in the future. It had all the right people at the table, counties, local elected officials, state legislators, environmental groups, public interest groups, and our two planning agencies. So again, thank you. Both the board and the staff. The staff was very supportive, receptive to new ideas, and we thank you very much. And Steve is going to tell you a little bit about our recommendations and resolutions.
First, I'd also like to echo Don's sentiments about thanking the board and the staff for the opportunity to be involved in this coordinating council. I would agree with Don that we would like to see this used as a model going forward in the future, not only for future analysis of tollway corridors, but potentially for all interstate corridors in the state of Illinois and in the Midwest. The group formulated a set of guiding principles that we could all agree on. As Don said, it was unanimous. Hopefully you have been able to take a look at the document that we created. But inside the guiding principles, essentially it was based on trying to improve the performance of the corridor and to generate some economic vitality at the same time, and that the regional planning agencies would then share kind of this cooperative planning environment where local roads that intersect a corridor could be planned and managed, and investments from any of the agencies that touch the Jane Addams would consider not only the level of congestion that we currently have in the corridor, but any future levels of congestion. And lastly, I think the guiding principles talked about sustainability, and not only environmental sustainability, looking at green practices as we construct, but also a financial sustainability model. And I think the Illinois Tollway is leading the effort in the state of Illinois to look at ways to be financially sustainable. And then lastly, to kind of look at ways we can extend the life cycle of the investment once it's been made. So those were kind of the guiding principles that we used going forward that led to a set of recommendations. And those recommendations have then been interjected into a resolution that both CMAP and RMAP have passed. And I just want to highlight a couple of those recommendations. First of all, that all the agencies in the corridor will follow those guiding principles whenever they're looking at making investments. And that we're recommending that the tollway consider implementing congestion-priced managed lanes as part of the Ad-Lane project on the Jane Addams and the reconstruction. And that as part of that congestion-priced model, we would like the tollway to consider the future transit uses in the corridor, both during the construction as well as after the construction is done. And as you probably are well aware, there's a short range, a mid-range, and a long-range corridor schematic that kind of shows the progression that we expect to see and how transit will be able to use the corridor when it's done. We also are recommending that access to O'Hare be a major consideration in the rebuilding of Jane Addams, but not only for automobile usage, but also for improved access for transit and bicycles and pedestrians. And I know that's not an easy task to do, but we believe it's something that will continue to make O'Hare to be the premier destination in the United States and in the world. Lastly, I think the recommendations kind of lead us to an environment where as we're looking at the construction activities, that any opportunities to develop park and rides during the construction would be, you know, in acquiring that right away would be something that the tollway will look at, as well as each of the implementing agencies. And then to have everyone start to think about station areas for that future transit and how we're going to build investment around those station areas and hopefully grow some jobs. And I think lastly, Don and I are in agreement that this type of model for a metropolitan planning organization is something we'd like you to consider more of in the future, and we are there in case you would like us to be there for any future work that might happen on this whole system. And we'd be happy to answer any questions if you have any.
Thank you both. Christy and I talked a little bit about the presentation in advance, and we know that the congestion pricing question will come up through the strategic planning committee, and that's an issue that I think we all have to examine, not only for this corridor, but for all of them. I think specific to this, that this, it would be helpful if we could have a discussion about the question of transit. Maybe you could give us a little more detail, or Christy, if you would, like Rocco or Paul or somebody to do that, about what are the open questions around the transit issues, and just get an initial first impression from some of the directors about that. I think we welcome the resolution, but it's not something we've really had a discussion about before as a board, so that would be helpful to do it.
Sure. I mean, I think one of the open questions is the location of, you know, access and park and rides, or where the station locations will be along the corridor. And I know that's something that we're working with RTA and PACE on, you know, at the direction of the Planning Council. You know, it was clear that those types of decisions needed to be addressed, hopefully on the front end. I mean, as you know, we're planning right now to build to allow for, you know, for the shoulder to be converted to a dedicated bus rapid transit lane, which is very exciting. But what does that mean in terms of, you know, where the access points are going to need to be for, you know, the customers who would use that transit? You know, is there direct access that's necessary? You know, ramps or other things to accommodate, you know, a bus getting on and off quickly. You know, I would ask, you know, Rocco or the co-chairs, you know, that to me is the major kind of outstanding question right now, and how we're going to handle that issue and planning for it. You know, obviously, you talked about acquiring additional right-of-way, and that means additional dollars. So is there anything else, any subtlety that I should maybe I'm not hearing very quickly?
I'll just say this on the right-of-way. What we're trying to do on the right-of-way front is kind of get smart, not kind of, we will get smart about how we approach the identification of what right-of-way is needed for. What we're looking at is that if during construction, we'll need to store materials, we'll need access for construction equipment, phasing and staging of the construction. So what we're looking at is the opportunities where we can kind of marry the two, where there's desire for park-and-ride facilities or where there's a need for long-term park-and-ride facilities, and where our needs might be for additional access, staging, phasing, just kind of blend it all together to do the overlays and start matching these things up. That's what we just started working on with our creative pace. So on the right-of-way front, it's just not a broadcast by right-of-way for park-and-ride. It's figuring out where the best locations would be and where we could actually use that land during construction, but when we're done with construction, restore it the right way and convert it into a long-term use. So that was one of the things that we're doing on the right-of-way side. And really looking at access, working with, PACE has also received a grant through CMAC, which is a CMAC run-type program, and trying to leverage the most benefit out of those dollars as well to really get the biggest bang for the entire whole. So those are some of the things we're doing there. On the access and the right-of-way front, so there are additional costs, but again, we're trying to be smart about how we approach those costs. I mean, those park-and-ride stations, you know, looking at some of the old concepts of station planning, and going back to PACE and RTA, and having them using in partnership with us with the FHWA grant that we recently received, helping to try to find out where the demand will be for transit and how transit and vehicles will operate in this entire quarter. So those are some of the things that we'll be doing moving forward. We've already really started a lot of those discussions.
You know, I know one question that's come up because many people have seen the design, you know, the schematic, some of the drawings of what BRT could look like is, you know, platforms in the middle of the highway, for instance, versus having, you know, places off the system where passengers would get on and then the bus could continue on the system. So I think right now what's being contemplated is not platforms in the middle of the highway, correct?
What we're looking at really is the access part. But in some of our earlier discussions and ongoing discussions with RTA, what seems to be the best for enhancing transit access along the corridor in the near term now is improved access to where the people want to be and where the jobs are, not necessarily in the middle of the roadway and having to figure out how to get from the middle of an interstate to the jobs. We are looking at maybe some focal points, maybe some key, very key locations throughout the entire corridor where an inline station might best provide benefits, but most of the discussions and considerations now is getting the transit to where people want to ultimately be. So it's just a slightly different mindset than before.
Is there, first of all, are there any questions from the other directors? I have a couple. I'm just curious, is there a model someplace in the country that's the one that everybody looks to as the best way to have done
that? We're going to have to adapt something. There's a lot of things that have been done across the country that we're trying to pull the best of those to see what would work best here. The development that has historically occurred along I-90 is the front doors of these companies and larger organizations on I-90. They're not near I-90. The doors face away from it. So we're trying to, like if you go out the blue line a little bit further east on I-90 into the Kennedy, a lot of the businesses are actually geared towards the Kennedy and the blue line. We don't have that on the Jane Addams portion of it. It's the larger boxes that are further away. So we're looking at what's been done in Miami, we're looking at the Minnesota type models, what's been done in Minneapolis, Los Angeles, San Diego area, to kind of see, okay, what's worked best and what might we be able to apply here.
So we think there might be an opportunity for some direct access from this bus lane, correct? Point, that's what one of the things we're looking at.
Can't give you all the secrets, but yes. Yeah, that's what we're looking at.
Transparency, that's our motto here.
It's the operational. Where's the demand? Where's the need to get the market analysis as well? That's some of the things that we're getting into more now with our RTA phase and through this FHWA grant. So it's really trying to marry all the different things that are out there. There's been a lot of talk of transit for many years. Now it's time to deliver, and we're trying to make sure that what we do is going to best fit the needs of everything that's due there. But yeah, the direct access ramps are something that's being considered. Yeah, we want to make sure that we've got the roadway. We want to make sure the roadway can operate well and function well with transit. So where might the bus be located? Is it the inside? Maybe outside? We don't want the bus having move across. And there's a lot of planning and operational analysis that we're going through right now. Not necessarily secrets, but.
And what's the experience been on the Stevenson? Does anybody know on the usage of the buses?
It's been terrific. Mm-hmm. They exceeded expectations.
Doubled. I think they said doubled ridership.
Right. Yeah. The other buses.
Yeah.
They're above all of the projected numbers as their base has been reported.
And have they? I haven't followed this. Have they had the same set of issues about where you pick people up and drop them off? Or?
They've got park ride facilities all along the route. It's kind of a long haul point-to-point service. That was existing service.
So that was an existing service.
I see. Right. They just moved it onto the shoulder. So
that it could be more consistent and
and we're gaining a lot of advantages over the traffic that's actually, I think it was yesterday's newspaper, talked about some of the greatest delays that we have in the area and what buses are now is experiencing a large advantage over the passenger cars that are sitting now. By just using the shoulder, so it's been very successful for them so far.
And what's our timeline here in terms of making these decisions, and how do you do the marketing? Is the corridor council going to be involved, or the market study?
The market study, the work that's going on right now, it's really with tollway, PACE, RTA, it's furthering this federal highway integration study. The work of the council is technically wrapped up, but these are our partners moving forward. On everything that we do, so we will continue to be going back to them to really kind of keep exploring the issues to make sure that what we deliver is consistent again with the guiding principles, the recommendations for the board. We've done our own in-house two-day charrette workshop, if you will, just to kind of get together and say, what do we need to do? We'll be doing that again later with these thoughts and ideas in mind, and just as we proceed along with construction starting very soon.
So let me ask my two mayors, although neither of you are on this council, is having a park and ride in your community a good thing or a bad thing? I mean, just in the abstract, is it something that generally you think, I know you can't generalize maybe, but is this something that, how would a mayor deal with this issue in his community?
Well, I think it's a good question. I think if the demand is there, government's there to serve people, demand is there, and that's something we have to look at. In the final analysis, it helps the local economy because people get where they want to go faster, cheaper, whatever the case may be. So, I think we'd be very open to the question.
So, part of it is making sure that the government is involved in figuring out what the demand is and what the acceptability is.
Yeah, and location, I think, is important as well.
Yeah, I would say the location is going to be probably the key part of the municipality, just the access and availability of the land that's around the areas.
Mm-hmm. And having people from surrounding communities coming through, I assume will create more demand for other services for the community, so you have to factor that into your decision.
One other thing on the park, the other things we're trying to do on the park, right? Like these existing resources. This is a lot of stuff that really came out of the strategic advisory team. Maximize use of our existing resources. So we're looking at the existing facilities that are out there. One of them, like Steve mentioned, Belvedere Oasis. We've already got parking lots out there. We have access. got a pretty much a transit hub out there, but it doesn't serve as a transit hub, so we're looking at facilities like that. Other parking, existing parking facilities along the corridor, how can we use those maybe in the interim?
Mm-hmm.
Again, it's not just about having to build new, let's maximize what we have out there today, and how does that marry in with what the service and the demands are out there. There are some park and ride lots already along I-90, maybe not easy to access, or really some of them aren't just well marked. So it's just a matter of, again, just looking at the big picture in a real sense with RTA, with CMAP, with RMAP, with the regional stakeholders to identify what's really needed out there, how can we improve access and speed, really. That's what the whole thing is. How do you enhance the speed of transit? That's going to be the driving force. And our roadway as well. I don't want to forget our customers who are out there as well. So it's the overall vision of what we want to try to accomplish.
And someday we will be thinking about the people on the buses as our customers too.
Oh, yes. they're all our customers. Anybody on the road.
Well, if we do a hub at the Oasis, I bet that would be good for our retail. And we can expect great returns from that Starbucks when everybody parks, gets their coffee, and get on the bus. Are there other questions by any of the directors? Well, this obviously still is going to be subject to refinement and analysis, and we look forward to getting the report back from the market analysis and also the recommendations. And I think it's really smart using the area for construction and then thinking about how you're going to convert that into the park and rides if that's what you decide to do and incorporate that in. Paul, did you want to comment on that?
Rocco said everything. I mean, there's a little pressure on us to work this out, but you know, we have been having a lot of coordination meetings with the various agencies that Rocco mentioned. I mean, we're going to work in the western section of I-90 starting, you know, in earnest in 2013 and then 14, and then moving on to the eastern section. So I think we're starting in an area that has, you know, a little easier. It'll be a little easier to implement. Like Rocco mentioned, we have the Belvedere Oasis. It's a very logical hub for transit, so you know, that might serve the need out there. But definitely looking at, you know, these direct access points, because if we, I don't think there's going to be a construction challenge necessarily associated with any of these things. It's just that, you know, doing something that we know is really going to be beneficial to the people who are going to use it, and it's going to work.
And to help them to understand the elements of it and get feedback as to if they don't think it's going to be beneficial, how do we deal with those concerns?
Right.
That's the truth.
But this service doesn't exist currently, correct?
Not what we're envisioning, no.
Right. So, you know, it's definitely something that, you know, the making sure the market is there, making sure we're thinking about what the market is.
Yeah.
It's going to be important because these are major investments that would be made.
And we definitely, you know, by but developing the cross section that we have, we know we're going to have that space on the inside shoulder, so we know we're going to meet like the key element, which is, you know, reliability and guaranteed travel time, because they'll be able to, you know, definitely understand how long it's going to take them to get from here to there.
Okay, well, we look forward to the strategic planning committee helping us think about congestion pricing issue too, and how these things are going to work together or not work together as we go forward on this.
So I think that there are actually a couple of other members of the advisory council, you know, beyond the co-chairs who are here today. So if you wouldn't mind standing up, thank you so much for your service.
Yeah, we appreciate
it
very much.
It.
And will you let the other members please all stand?
Oh, come on, stand up, please.
Will you let the other members of the council? And I think it's fair to say we're going to continue to draw on your expertise, so we appreciate, and we'll assume your willingness to do that until you run away and tell us no more. Okay. Anything else on that? Thank you. May I hear a motion for approval of, oh, I'm sorry, is there any public comment beyond the comment from the members of the council? I have had no notification of any. Okay, let's move then to the approval of the minutes for the regular board meeting and the executive session. May I hear a motion on that?
So moved.
Second?
So moved.
Are there any corrections or comments on those minutes? And I'm sorry, they we're trying to make sure they come out further in advance, and I was away part of last week for family reasons, so I did not get to them, and I apologize, and I appreciate Trinise's patience and David's patience on that. Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Okay, any extensions? Thank you. Let's go to the committee reports then. So we'll start with Director Peterson, and we'll do the financial review, budget review.
Okay, during the Finance Committee meeting, Finance presented several items. One was the quarterly financial review for the first quarter of 2012. Happy to report that the financial results have been favorable as far as revenues go. We've exceeded the quarterly estimate by about $3.5 million due to traffic, passenger commercial traffic has been greater than was projected. Also, our operating expenses were about $2.4 million less than budgeted due to weather-related issues and some costs that were less for the customer call center. The capital expenditures were $25.7 million less than estimated, primarily due to scheduling and timing issues, I think, with CMS and procurement. Mike is going to talk a little bit and give a brief presentation, I think. You want to do that now? In this loop right here? Good.
Good morning. Just quickly, I wanted to recap what the budget parameters were at the start of the year. We had projected $973 million in revenue for 2012, and as you can see, the vast majority of that is toll revenue and evasion recovery. We had budgeted that $973 million as follows: $268 million for operations, $10 million set aside to increase our operating reserve from $17 million that it currently is to $27 million. $255 million to finance our debt that's outstanding, debt service transfers or payments. And then $440 million would be available to help fund our ongoing capital needs and the Move Illinois program, as well as the congestion relief program. For the first quarter, as Director Peterson had mentioned, revenues exceeded what we had anticipated by $3.5 million, or about 1.6%. That really was a function of, as you can see, toll revenue exceeding our expectations for that quarter. And it was a combination of both passenger vehicle and commercial vehicle traffic doing slightly better than what we had anticipated in the first quarter.
I'm sorry, Mike, can we go back for just a second? We did have a discussion when we had a little recap of this earlier about our projections on investment income, and we seem always to be projecting very optimistically, so we've talked about whether or not, and it's in the scheme of things a small amount of money, but I think just to be a little bit more realistic about the projected income might make more sense.
Okay.
I don't know, Mark, if you talked about that at the committee meeting. I'm sorry, I didn't make it.
We will look at that.
I think we lower them. We feel, I feel
we've
like
we lowered them several times.
Every, but we, you know, we'll continue to.
Okay, thank you.
Mike, sure. Sorry, could I just ask?
Sure.
You mentioned, I think we mentioned before that snow removal related costs were down, which makes sense. But you also mentioned that the toll revenues were somewhat higher than anticipated. So I'm trying to can you pinpoint a little more specifically how much the toll revenues were above what was anticipated?
Yes, so about the $4 million. The traffic, we have a slide here a little later on that will show that passenger vehicle traffic had declined 2.2% during the first quarter. Our projections, CDM Smith's projections for the year, were that passenger vehicle traffic would decline as a result of the toll rate increase, 5.9%. Now, we understand there's some variability in that, and that the greater decline is likely to be in recreational travel during the summer months, but clearly we were ahead of our projections with respect to the impact of the toll rate increase on passenger vehicle traffic. Commercial vehicle traffic also increased 6.3%, which was well above what we had projected for the first quarter. So it's a good sign that the commercial vehicle traffic reflecting some good economic activity during the first quarter. And Director Peterson had also mentioned that the operating budget was $2.5 million under what we had projected for the first quarter. And it's really in three areas. The first area is contractual services. This is a combination of really IPAS customer service costs. One of the items that was kind of a renegotiated last year was the image review, and our image review cost of license plates is less in the first quarter than we had anticipated. In addition, customer service center calls, because of the rate increase that went into effect January 1, that activity was not as great as we had anticipated, so there were lower costs in our customer call center. Materials and operating supplies, you can see, is down almost $1 million from what we had projected in the first quarter. That's a reflection of that mild winter and less need for winter materials. And finally, in parts and fuel, our fuel costs were down during the first quarter. That was a combination of both a mild winter, less need for snowplow use, but also there were some billing disagreements or delays between one of the fuel vendors and the Department of Central Management Services, which has the master contract. So some of that difference, in fact, probably a large portion of that difference, will go away as we get all of those invoices in and clear them through our system. With respect to the capital program, Director Peterson has mentioned this as well, we had budgeted $43 million for the first quarter, and about $17.5 million is what we expended during the first quarter. Approximately $3 million of that relates to better bids on the Jane Addams. You can see that number up under the Jane Addams with respect to work that we're doing. But most of it really is related to scheduling and timing issues, much of those issues driven by the procurement process and some delays related to the procurement process. I think it's fair to say, I think Paul would agree, our expectation is that by the end of the year we will not expend the full amount that we had anticipated expended at the start of the year, that we would not recover all of that, those scheduling impacts by the end of the year.
That's correct. I mean, we are going to make up some of it. Like you said, we got a late start in some of the work, and we do plan on finishing it before the end of the year. But some other items of work that we wanted to get included in that, for example, some bridges on I-90, it's not going to be able to be done this year now. I don't think it's going to necessarily hold up the further improvements in that corridor. We're just going to roll those into the mainline contracts, which are going to begin next year and the following year.
But we'll report back when we have, we're still getting our arms around what we think the ultimate dollar impact is going to be as far as what's falling off. But it's clear that the new procurement process is, has had a very direct impact on our program this year.
If I may. So if we're pushing back those bridge projects, do we anticipate that that'll, we're just going to run those projects concurrent with the other previously scheduled projects?
Yes. I mean, the bridges typically take longer, so they kind of drive the schedule a little bit.
Right.
So we would have loved to have been able to get some advanced work going on those bridges also starting this year. It's not an impossible task, though, to do it as part of the mainline construction work. And I feel confident it is going to be no issue on the remaining improvement.
And
on the delivery of the remaining improvement.
And running those concurrent, we don't have any other changes in traffic flow patterns or anything that, as we had projected them during the construction season?
There could be. They will also drive the maintenance of traffic plans, so there will be some adjustments made on those also. But we do plan on keeping all the mainline lanes open during construction, so we'll be meeting that criteria.
Well, what do you factor in as an increased cost and delays, material, labor, and such?
We know that just due to escalation, we're probably going to see 4% more at least. So depending on how much work gets deferred, you know, we can probably count on paying at least 4% more for it.
So we'll, you know, keep you posted and report back and the implications for both this year and next. But obviously, it's disappointing. And during my update, I'll talk a little bit about, you know, our legislative efforts and, you know, procurement reforms and some changes to the process are, you know, top on our list to, you know, continue to maintain, I think, all of the good intentions of some of those reform efforts without, hopefully, some of these negative impacts that we're experiencing.
All right. I think we have discussed this briefly already. As we mentioned, the passenger vehicle, commercial vehicle traffic ahead of the forecasted trend for the first quarter. Revenues increased 45.5% for tolls, toll revenue, as opposed to the projection of 41%. I would caution that it's early, that we have an environment of high fuel prices that could impact summer travel. And so our biggest revenue months are between the months of May and October. So we're really going to have a better feel for how we will end up the year, probably midway through or toward the end of the third quarter. So we'll continue to monitor this. So far, so good on the revenue side.
So maybe we can't know this, but one of the concerns about the increased toll was the impact on the arterial. Have we heard either officially or anecdotally anything about that? And I wonder, is that, I had not thought about this before, is it true for the commercial vehicles that if they think there's going to be less congestion on the tollway because of fewer passenger cars, that they actually go on the tollway, which in turn reduces the congestion on the arterials? Or do we, I just wonder if anybody thinks about or knows about it.
I don't know if, I do believe that part of the assumption in the forecast is that as passenger vehicles leave the system, that provides more of an incentive for commercial vehicle traffic to be on our system. Not to the level that we're experiencing here, I believe. But Cameron, I don't know if you...
That's correct, Mike. But also, I point out, Madam Chairman, that often the perception is that the traffic will divert to one particular route, but the reality is because we have a fairly intricate network, it's distributed over the range of the whole network. So it's very difficult to see the puts and takes in terms of what the real impacts are. Solely attributable to toll increase because we've had high gas prices. We've had a lot of intangibles.
Yeah, it'd be nice if these variables were just...
Well, when you factor in the toll increases,